Dayton Moore was in Omaha to promote his new book and to help celebrate the Royals by the Omaha Storm Chasers. Here's some audio I took, so check it out.
I'm ready when you feel that.
Just first and foremost, obviously long baseball season, not the greatest stretch right now. I heard Ned talk before the game that it's no time to panic, and this is the ebbs and flows of the season. That's how you have to look at it, right?
Well, you know, we feel really good where we are. I mean, we're 28-18 and tied for first place with a real good Twins team who's really playing well, and Detroit obviously has been mastering our division for some time now. So it's a long season, and we got 100 plus games to go, and I think we got to get our rotation stabilized a little bit. We've run into some real tough pitching here, starting with Watka the last game with the Cardinals, and so we got an off day tomorrow, and we can reset and go into Chicago and hopefully play real well.
It's a different feeling this year, though, isn't it? Being hunted rather than being the hunters.
It is. It certainly is. And our guys, they go out and play so hard, and they love to play. And you know, this community, the fan base here, have had a chance to see most of these guys play here, you know, in Omaha, and so they know, their commitment to the game and the energy level that they have, and it's fun to watch them play. And so I trust this group a great deal to go out and perform and give their best.
You've been around the block. You know what a good affiliation relationship can be. How good is this? Because of not only proximity, but the way Omaha and Kansas City has worked together.
Environment's crucial, and you know, for an organization who relies on homegrown talent, where our players play within the community and what the great support of the fan base is so important and vital for their success. And you know, Omaha has provided that for many, many years, and it's a terrific relationship.
Dayton, I want to ask you: you were up here a few years ago when Bubba Starling was going to sign, and you drafted him. Tell me, what is his status right now, and what are your future plans with him?
Well, Bubba's off to a terrific start, and he had a little setback with his hamstring, but he's doing very well. He's progressing at a rate that we would expect, and we're excited about getting him back on the field and continue making the strong progress.
Could you see him in Omaha?
Well, we'll see. I mean, in the future, absolutely. Right now, he'll, once he gets, his hamstring, feeling better, he'll return to Double A, Northwest Arkansas, and then, once you get to Double A and you start having success, you got a chance to move pretty quickly. So we'll see.
How important was the franchise getting off to a good start this year to kind of capitalize on the momentum you built into last season?
Well, I think it was real important. It's always important to get off to a great start, as you know, but particular, with this group, just to carry over with a lot of the success that we had in August and September, and of course the great playoff run. So we like our guys a great deal. The defense is something that we've relied on to be very, very consistent, as well as the bullpen. And right now we just got to get our rotation stable a little bit. Danny Duffy's on the disabled list. He'll probably do a rehab assignment here at some point in time, we're hoping, and we can get him back on track, and then that rotation will be a big help for us.
You mentioned Bubba, and we are fascinated with him because of his history with the football team down the street. Patience with players, every player develops at his own pace, at a different rate. Have you had any more or less challenges being patient with Bubba?
Not at all. I mean, when you look at guys like Torrey Hunter, how long they spent in the minor leagues, Matt Holliday, how long they spent in the minor leagues. The bottom line is, as long as they're continuing to improve and their attitude and their commitment to the game remains strong, and that's always been the case with Bubba. So, what he is simply this. He's a terrific athlete. He plays an unbelievable center field right now today. The bat is the toughest thing to develop, and it's a power bat. So, and it's very difficult, if not impossible, for you to improve upon the level of competition. So you've got to go in there and meet those challenges, face the good pitching, and learn to make those adjustments. And it takes a lot of time. But we're pleased with this progress. us, and he's going to be a good one for us.
Defensively, would he be ready? I mean, if his bat was there?
Oh,
defensively,
yeah. Defensively, he's a major league center fielder right now.
You mentioned defense. Alex Gordon, here's a guy that was an infielder, for goodness sakes, a handful of years ago. Are you surprised at the progress and how good he is out in left field? And
Well, we certainly wouldn't have predicted, four gold gloves and a platinum award winner. But, being around Alex is perhaps, the greatest thing I've experienced in sports. Just, his leadership qualities, his commitment to the game, the type of person that he is, the way he handled and battled through adversity is a lesson for all of us. And, he's deserving of everything that he's been given at this point in time, because his commitment level is just so high. It's unmatched.
Dayton, talk about the catch he made in left field when Alex dove three rows back. Did you take your breath away when you saw that? What'd you say when you saw that?
I'm always, every time I see him go, I'm just praying he gets up, because he's so fearless. And that's really, what our team embodies is just a fearless approach to the game. And Alex sets the example for that.
Was that the best catch you've ever seen?
Well, it could be. I mean, it was a pretty good one, that's for sure. So certainly as fearless as I've ever seen.
How important is addressing his future? And I guess what kind of timetable do you put on trying to make progress in that regard?
Well, Alex obviously has it's a player option for 2016. And we'll address it at the appropriate time. I mean, there's a commitment certainly from myself as the general manager of the Glass family, as the owners of the Royals, as we know, and I think Alex as well. So all three parties are committed to keeping Alex in Kansas City, and it's just a matter of, the appropriate time and working through the details of that. But right now we're focused on, winning the Central Division, playing great baseball, and hopefully getting back to the World Series.
You mentioned the rotation a little bit earlier. Is that the biggest concern at this point of the season, just trying to get something that can get you back to the...
You know, it always is. It always is, because, it's so fragile. I think, all 30 clubs and general managers, go to bed at night praying that their rotation stays healthy and the guys stay consistent. And, with our team, as good as our defense is and the way our ballpark plays, you need pitchers that are going to prepare. Pitchers are going to throw strikes, field their position, hold runners, do those things that you have to do to compete to win baseball games, and let our defense make plays and, get those guys off the field and in the dugout and ready to hit. It makes a huge difference for us. So, for us, I feel like it will stabilize. Yordano Ventura has had some terrific outings and some ones where he's had some trouble commanding his fastball. Historically, power pitchers develop a little more command later on in the year and certainly in their careers. It's not easy controlling that electric arm. So, but we're like everybody else. I mean, we're going to always have to look to make adjustments and improve upon what we have.
You've got a lot of young arms in the system with Brooks and Zimmer and Finnegan and Manea and say Binford. How would you like to see those guys kind of develop, and how can they help you, even if it's not in a starting role right away down the road at least?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, there's a chance that all those guys could, help us, not only as a starter, but in a relief situation, long relief. And so you're going to need them all as we get deep into the season. And certainly they're all, a major part of our future.
Mm-hmm. Was that important to you to try to stockpile some arms within your own farm system and grow them?
You never have enough. A mentor of mine, Paul Snyder, always told me that you got to have 20 average or better pitching prospects just to get two or three to the major leagues. So you need quantity, that's for sure. And that's, we're getting ready to have the draft here in a couple weeks. And it's perhaps the most important exercise, we go through as an organization. The fact that, homegrown talent, our farm system's always crucial, especially for our market. And, pitching is, as I've said before, it's the currency of the game, and the only way you tilt the field in your favor is by having quality pitching on the mound.
Brandon pitched here last year in the College World Series, and folks saw him, I guess, once here before he went up and helped out again last week. Can you kind of take me through the process of what you wanted to do with him this year? Because I know the idea was to start him at first, and
help you out more. We're still learning about Brandon. He emerged really quickly last year. When we drafted him, several of our scouts felt that he could pitch for us successfully in the bullpen if needed. And certainly that was the case. And we drafted him as a starter, but also we have to look at his workload, you know, from 2014. You know, he started pitching and working out in January of TCU. Every game that he pitched, he had 30 radar guns in front of his face. He's trying to not only win for his team, but he's also trying to make sure that his draft status remains high, and somebody who was projected and did go in the first round. So then he goes through all that, obviously pitching in the regionals, super regionals, and then pitching the College World Series, another high leverage situation, and then he signs professionally, and then here we go again. We ramp it all up. So, you know, the bottom line is you got to keep pitchers healthy, and it's a tough task. It's not easy. Nobody has all the answers and how you keep guys healthy. But we've wanted to be very controlling about his workload, and so that's why we've done our best to monitor what he does. I think the best way for him to help our team in 2015 is probably in the bullpen. But you never know. I mean, he may emerge in the rotation at some point as well. It's so unpredictable, as you know. I mean, this time last year, we didn't even know what Brandon Finnegan would mean to our organization. We were scouting him like everybody else, and then he's in the World Series helping us win games, and with his terrific performance in the wild card game, the most perhaps one of the most meaningful games in Royals history. I mean, he was a star for us. So we'll see.
Yeah. You mentioned the hometown talent. How much do you feel like the success at the major league level at this point has come from guys there having success here, having success with Poli in Northwest Arkansas all the way along?
Yeah, it's been everything for us. We're always going to have to rely on homegrown talent. Our farm system is going to have to continue to transition players to the major league level. And, we want to be able to have a pitcher transition at least every year, a position player every year, every other year. I mean, we got to keep it going, because we're not going to be able to keep all these guys in Kansas City. We'll try. And we've had a lot of success of signing, our homegrown players to long-term contracts. But you're not going to be able to keep them all. And that's why you got to keep a steady flow coming. And, if you're going to ever make an impactful trade, you're going to have to give up, quality young players. So the farm system needs to be deep, it needs to be strong, and it's something that we continually work towards.
You mentioned the draft. Do you tough to balance need with the best player on your board?
You take the best player available, you always do, and of course, the premium positions are crucial. You look at the players that cost the most in free agency, impact catchers, tough to get. Impact center fielders, impact shortstop, certainly left-handed pitching, starting pitching in general. It's at a premium, so we'll continue to focus on that in the draft. We're picking a little different this year. We're picking 21, and we were picking 23, and then with some of the compensation picks kind of going away or being added to the mix, we moved up rather, and so. We're in a different spot this year, but you can get big leaguers in every draft and in every round. And Lonnie Goldberg, who's our scouting director, and the great work that all of our scouts do, I trust them to make sure that they continue to fill the pipeline.
Is it more important for a team like Kansas City to hit on these draft picks than, let's say, a big market, big spending team?
I think it's important for everybody. I really do, because I even look at the New York Yankees. When they finally committed to scouting and player development, they started winning. And winning consistently at the major league level and winning World Series. And that was when they committed to homegrown talent like Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams, Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettitte, and the list goes on. And that's what you have to do. So everybody tries to do it the same way. The chemistry is so important over 162 games. You want to be able to sign and develop a group of players together, grow up together, win together in the minor leagues. And I think everybody tries to do that. But certainly it's more crucial in the smaller markets. We don't have a lot of room for error. And we get an opportunity to make one move, and some markets get a chance to make three and four. And it's more difficult for us to cover up our mistakes than others. So we got to get it right. And again, the farm system is crucial.
Tell us about the book a little bit. What kind of project was that to undertake?
It was fun. At first, it wasn't anything that I was interested in doing. We did about 5.5 weeks. Bill High, who oversees our foundation, the Sea in the Major Leagues Foundation, kept pushing and pushing, and finally did it for, you know, three reasons. One, it gave us a chance to write the narrative of our journey here in Kansas City, and really bring, and secondly, bring honor to a lot of terrific people that have done unbelievable work behind the scenes. The great support of Dan and Dave Glass and their entire family, and you know, what I believe they've meant to the success and the stability of this organization. And then three, you know, all the proceeds from the sale of the book go to our Sea in the Major Leagues Foundation, which was created to support people in the following four areas: youth baseball, families in crisis, education, and faith-based organizations and events. So those are our four bases, if you will, and it's been a lot of fun. It's the foundation, we started about a year and a half ago. I've learned a lot, just as I learned a lot writing a book. It's and I've got my former English teachers are all rolling their eyes, but I did hear from one of them, a gal by the name of Kathy Isaac, who is a dear friend to this day. Her and her husband Russ, and I see him in Arizona every year in spring training. But it's been fun.
So. What have you learned that you didn't expect along the way, coming over from your mentor John Sherholtz and then coming to Kansas City?
Well, you know, it's I learned that no matter who your mentors are, how much success that that you have, you're never really prepared to be a general manager until you get in that seat and you start making those decisions. It moves very, very fast. There's a lot of things you have to manage. You know, in our previous positions in baseball, and I started as an area scout, and before that I was a college coach, and you know, you're dealing with you know, just, you know, players every day, and you're dealing with primarily baseball people, and then all of a sudden you become a general manager, and you're dealing with not only those people, which is crucial, it's so important, because you can't fool players, and you got to keep the environment strong, and you've got to be able to do that by communicating successfully with coaches, managers, players. But you know, now you're dealing with owners, you're dealing with sponsors, you're dealing with, you know, a fan base, you're dealing with multiple, you know, individuals within the media, and so it's a big job. So I'm learning every day. There's a lot of challenges. The game changes minute to minute, and you know, there's new challenges every single day in this game.
Some managers shy away from big personalities, but you've got Mike Arbuckle, who was a GM or a projected GM. JJ's up to that level. Scott's up to that level. Is that your philosophy? Surround yourself with great people?
Well, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I know what I don't know, and you know, I've always wanted to have strong opinions, because at the end of the day, you just want to get it right, and the only way you're going to get it right is you employ talented people, you support them to do their job, you ask a lot of questions. Most of my day is spent asking questions, and you want to get the right answers, and the way you get the right answers is have good people that are working hard every day to find those answers. So it's a good group of people. You know, the chemistry is strong, the continuity has been great, and that's how you win, especially in small markets. I mean, you don't want to have, if you're going to have turnover at the major league level, which, you know, every organization has, and smaller markets do so more than others, you don't want turnover with your scouting director and your farm director and your special assistants and, you know, your manager. I mean, you want stability within your leaders, because your leaders are the ones ultimately shaping your culture.
You talk about Alex's transformation. Can you talk about Moose's so far this year and what he's done and the changes?
Great. You know, one of the common ingredients both of those guys have is they're baseball players. And, you know, that people kind of, well, what does that mean? Well, they absolutely, when I talk about a guy who's a baseball player, you know, they respect every aspect of the game. They respect the fans. They respect the grounds crew. They respect their teammates. They respect the diversity. They respect all the cultures in the game. They respect the media. They know what you have to do at each position to be successful. They understand pitching. They understand catching. They understand infield play, outfield play. They get the strategy. And they're committed to being a great teammate. And you know, that's what both of those players have in common. So no, I'm not surprised that Mike is doing well. I'm really not. I'm not the smartest. I'm not saying I'm a smart baseball guy by any means, but I am. You got to trust in the talent and trust in the makeup of players, and that's what those guys are. And he, you know, obviously with the way the shifts have taken over the game, it became very clear to Mike, if I'm going to be the successful player that I've always believed I can be and continue to dream that I'm going to be, I'm going to have to make some adjustments. And he knows that's what you have to do as a baseball player. You've got to make adjustments. And, you know, he's he's went out and done it.
You talk about that cultural shift. You guys have been very exploitive in the early days in Latin America.
Yeah.
Now the market's kind of changed where the big market teams are kind of outspending.
Yeah.
Do you want to see a change made by Major League Baseball?
We'll see. It's that's an interesting question. You know, I did international work for 5.5 years, and so I've always enjoyed that part of the game. And it's an important part of the game because it's where a lot of our high-ceiling talent's been coming from. And for us to be a winning championship organization, we have to have strong programs internationally. We're fortunate that Rene Francisco and Orlando Estevez and Victor Baez and Felix Francisco, no relation to Rene, but do a great job of creating our programs and searching for talent. But it gets more challenging all the time. But I believe we'll always have the ability to develop players for one simple reason, because the leaders that we have in place, the coaches, the instructors, the managers, they care. And if you have the right environment, you know, players will achieve and reach their ceiling. And I trust our environment.
Would you like to see an international draft?
You know, I've never been a big proponent of that. You know, a lot of people are. I like kind of a free market system. I like the opportunity to go out and sign a player every day. I mean, I grew up as a scout, as I mentioned, so maybe that's just the scout in me, the competitiveness in me, the challenge of trying to find a player every single day. But some people, some better baseball minds than me, feel like that an international draft is needed. But whatever the rules are, we'll adjust and we'll make the best of whatever they put in place.
You notice when you come to a place like this, people realize that you are you, that they all of a sudden stand up straighter and maybe a little faster.
Yeah,
like
the players are. These guys, they go out and play, and it's fun to watch them, you know, go out and compete. So.
Cool. Hey, Dave,
all right, guys. You talk in the book about how you learned about what specifically happened.
You know, I think it's really helped is the advanced scouting aspect of it. The draft, it's. I still believe that the draft is about finding guys. Tools are easy for us to identify. We can all recognize tools. But in the draft, I really believe that it's about finding and identifying those guys that really love to play. And what I mean by that, and it seems like a simple statement, but you find a lot of guys, they go out and play, and they realize in the first couple years, I don't like doing this every day. I thought I did. And then after a couple years, they start to have some failure, and they don't manage through the failure very well because it's hard, and it is every day. And some of the guys don't, you know, they get caught up in, they don't like the diversity, they don't like the travel, they don't like the late nights, they don't like the food. I mean, it's just a challenge. They go through different phases of their life. So in the draft, I think you really got to find guys who really, really want to play and are going to fight through the injury and the setbacks of the game. So that's where the area scout is so important. That doesn't. But let me just say this: I've never ever signed or drafted a player where I haven't validated my judgment or the scouting judgment by statistics. It's always been important. Or statistics can lead you to a player that is perhaps undervalued, and so you've always been open to that. But I think what it's really helped is the advanced scouting in the game. I think it's been huge. Our analytical team does a terrific job, and it's all checks and balances. And I've never made a deal in coming here to Kansas City, a trade or a free agent sign, where we haven't had an analytical judgment, a scouting judgment, the traditional baseball man's eye, a medical analysis, financial analysis, and a character analysis. So it's all important. And very rarely does it all line up. And sometimes you got to take chances on guys. But I've always felt that if you get those players that the directors and the leaders in those areas that are pounding their fist on, you're probably doing the right thing. And you're not going to get them all. But, you know, most of the time, the scouting judgment and the analytical judgment, they match up pretty consistently. It's not a lot of different viewpoints, truthfully.
Well, you talk about picking lower in the draft. Opportunity. Brady Aiken might be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Matula or something. I can't pronounce his last name. Big upper draft guys, but now with injuries, there you go. How do you weigh them and looking at them?
Well, you got to trust your medical team. And you
can get
you
get draft.
You get there. Oh yeah, yeah. You get that. You get that information, and then you got to trust you know, the judgment of your scouts on the player's makeup, and you know their ability to, you know, push through those types of things, those injuries and those setbacks. And you know, one of the questions, even the players that are healthy, especially the pitchers. I mean, once we start splitting hairs, we'll ask the question: okay, if this player gets hurt, which one is going to, you know, deal with the rehab the best? Because that's, they're going to have to fight back. And so it's all a part of it. It's not easy, and that's why you got to rely on the judgment of, you know, good people that get paid to give that input.
And last question. When you came in, you talked about attendance and having to push your payroll up, and attendance is way through the roof.
Yeah, isn't that great?
All-star game today. Yesterday was really five guys in the lead, another guy, Omar's in second. What's that mean to you as a general
manager? Awesome.
Well,
it's special because, you know, one of our missions as a baseball operations department, it was real personal to me, the fact that the Royals were my boyhood team. My family roots are in the Midwest, and my family all grew up Royals fans. I want to see the game thrive again in Kansas City. And that's one of the things that hurt me from afar, is that you know, the game wasn't thriving. And when we first came here, I would notice you know, the moms, the dads, the grandmas, and the grandfathers coming into the ballpark with their Amos Otis and their George Brett and their Frank White jerseys on, and their kids would have Pedroia or Derek Jeter jerseys on. You know, it was obvious that they lived in Kansas City, but we'd lost a generation of Royals fans, and I understand why. We weren't winning, and we all know as kids, we rooted for the winner, right? And that's why the Royals were an easy team to root for in the 70s and the 80s. So so to see kids from all over, especially Kansas City, where I obviously live, you know, and all over the Midwest with Salvador Perez and Mike Moustakas and Gordon and Hosmer jerseys and Kane, you know, on their T-shirts in the sand lots all over, you know, the city. That's great, and that's awesome. And you can't go anywhere without seeing Royal stuff, and it's neat. I mean, that's what it's all about. Because the game, sports in general, and the Kansas City Royals should obviously be something that unites families and creates harmony and togetherness within a community. And that's what we're someone really proud of.
I just want to ask you one more here, just about the guys that are here, or maybe might come through here through Double A and things like that. Just being so deep and being so set at a lot of your major league positions with all-star caliber guys now, what kind of options does that open up for you if you need to go get somebody at some point to fill a need, if that need isn't here, because you have guys like, say, a Pena or somebody like that, that maybe have proven themselves, Brooks, at the AAA level, but, you know, don't really have a spot for you.
Well, you never have too much depth, and that's one of the things we got to continue to create, is depth. But, you know, these players have all been around, and they understand kind of the dynamics of the game. And, you know, every night in AAA, there's either scouts in the stands, or there is scouts or front office executives all over the game watching, you know, players play on TV with the advances in the media. So so players are always being evaluated, and everybody wants good players. Everybody wants a good player. So players are performing, they'll get their opportunity eventually. And but I got a tremendous amount of respect for, you know, what each and every one of these guys go through each day, and you know, what they try to do, and how they're trying to, you know, reach the top of their profession.